And you got a goatee.
I did.
Did you get that after you helped me move and you saw mine?
Yes. Goatee.
This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, I honestly have to say, I thought this was going to be it for this year. I thought this was going to be the wrap-up show edition, but the Caps are still alive. They're still alive. They're keeping hope alive for Game 5. They did not get swept by the Islanders. Joining me to talk all about it, he likes Yevgeny Kuznetsov's new haircut. He's going to go full, you know, he's going to shave everything. He's going to be Dolphin Smooth.
Nope.
Coach Dan, Dolphin Smooth, Coach Dan. How's it going?
I am not shaving my head.
Drastic times call for drastic measures.
0% chance that will be happening, nor sporting the goatee that makes Ovechkin look like a bad guy in a Mission Impossible movie.
All right, so we got to start off with these haircuts because, I mean, we talk about the series so far and it's kind of depressing. So let's talk about something we can actually have some fun with here. The haircuts happened. Game 4, the guys come out. Ovechkin's got a goatee. Oshie's got a goatee. Jacob Verana and Yevgeny Kuznetsov are showing up bald.
That didn't help Verana.
But there's some speculation going on that these guys were trying to imitate the look of Barry Trotz. People are saying, like, they've done it before at Halloween parties, that these guys could actually be, like, you know, we're going to try to look like our old coach.
That's not real.
You don't think so? No. I have a theory. I don't think they're doing it to look like Barry Trotz. I think somebody brought a Breaking Bad box set, and they're watching it together, and they just got to the part where Walter White becomes Heisenberg and shaved his head and has a goatee. So I think they're all big Breaking Bad fans.
Okay, so what I think happened is you took a bunch of hockey players,
right,
hopped up on adrenaline, desperate to keep their season alive, and they acted stupid. Gave themselves ridiculous haircuts and facial hair, and it looks it looks very interesting, to say the least. But you know what, if it's what works, because it took them about 10 and a half periods to wake the hell up and realize that this is not a Thursday evening game in November, like, this game actually matters. And you know, it took, like I said, 10 and a half periods, but about halfway through the second period, they're like, oh.
Yeah, so what happened there? Because the exhibition game they had against Carolina a couple weeks ago, they looked good. Then they had the round-robin games, and they looked like crap, except for the Bruins game, the last one, the Bruins game.
Yeah, but it's only because the Bruins look worse.
That's true. They looked a little bit better.
Who cares less?
But what clicked halfway through the second last night in Game 4? Something clicked, because that game started off, and they were down 2-0 within the first 10 minutes. What clicked? What made them kind of go, oh, right, the Stanley Cup, that's what we're doing this for.
Oh, that's what this is for. So, you know, I don't know exactly what decided to wake them up, but whatever it was, it worked.
Yeah.
Because they finally decided to play. I don't know if, you know, they said something on the bench or in the locker room. I don't necessarily give this coaching staff enough credit to kind of to fire them up. But whatever it was, it worked, and they need to do it again. And I think the Islanders are going to come out hard on Thursday night. It's a night game, right? Or am I going to miss
this? We don't know yet.
Of course not.
As of this recording, I'm sure if you're listening to this, you know what time the game is. We do not.
Yes, as of just after 7 o'clock on a, what is today, Wednesday? This week is
Wednesday.
I don't know what day it is.
Oh, wait. Hold on, here it is. Just came through 2 minutes ago. Ben Raby.
Okay, all right. Get ready for me to get mad. Here we go.
Game 5, Caps versus Isles, will be at 8:10 tomorrow.
Oh, all right. I guess I won't be mad.
There you go.
I'll be tired on Friday. Who cares? It's Friday. You can stay up. You know, you can go to bed early or stay up late. You don't got to worry about it the next day. It's great. Although, I can't sleep past like 8 o'clock anymore. Do you have that problem? It's not because I have a kid. He sleeps later than I do.
I'm lucky if I sleep past 7, to be honest.
I'll go to bed around, you know, on the weekend. A week, I go to bed around, like, fall asleep between 10:30 and 11 because I got to get up at 6-something. But on the weekend, I'll be like, all right, I'm staying up late playing video games. Screw you guys. And then I fall asleep on the couch or, you know, I actually finally go to bed, probably fall asleep between 12 and 1. And then I wake up at 8 and I'm like, God damn it, I want to go back to sleep, but I can't. Meanwhile, my kid, who will be 15 months in 2 days, he is asleep by like 9:30 and he doesn't wake up till 9:30 or 10.
God, that's the life.
I know. And I'm like, I hate you a little bit right now, you small sleeping punk. Like, give me some of that sleep skill or something. I think it'll be nice to actually get to watch the game this time, as opposed to it actually worked out or didn't work out where was it game one was at 3,
yeah,
but it got pushed to like just after 4.
Yeah,
but then I got stuck at work, so I still didn't get home in time to watch the freaking game. So when I got pushed back, I was like, yes, and then it didn't work out for me. But no, I mean, I think this team right now needs to wake up a bit, and it's been, I don't blame the star players necessarily. I blame them for their stupid play to an extent where they do a lot of like blind passes and fancy stuff that you like, guys, it's the playoffs. Like, buckle down, crash the net, do the basics first. Then you can try and, you know, once you got the other team kind of on the ropes, you might be able to pull something like that off. But I'm going to look at the stats right now, and all I'm the top 5 or 6 guys are all your star players, your big players. Where's the help from anyone else? You know, where's the help from Ponick and from Boyd and from Kovalchuk and Haglund?
All right
now I'm looking at...
Hold on, let me just... Kovalchuk, that dude is the invisible man out on the ice. A couple weeks ago, I brought up the fact that he looked good on Instagram doing his own training before the bubble and how this was his last shot at a Stanley Cup because he's older. That dude might as well not even be on the ice because he's not doing anything for the Capitals right now.
Honestly, I was very excited when he joined the team, and I'm still waiting for him to show up.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and I don't know if it's his age. I don't know if it's because of the break. It took him longer to get back into sort of game shape or mentally game shape. But he's just, I mean, he's had a number of opportunities that have not gone his way. And I don't think it's necessarily just bad luck. I think it's, you know, his skill has dropped a bit, and I think he's a very good player still, obviously. He's just, it's not working for him right now. Also, with a different coaching staff for different line mates, you know, would he be doing better? But it's not exactly like he's got poor line mates. He's got, what, Haglund and Eller. These are two good players, though, looking at the stats right now, that's a problem. I mean, look at the stats alone. John Carlson's leading the team in points with 6, but he's -8. So defensively, doesn't sound like he's doing a very good job. And you're looking at Ovechkin. He's a +2, 5 points. Kuznetsov's got 5 points, even though it feels like he's a bit of a disappearing act. You got Oshie, Wilson, Orlov. Then you're going down to Gudas with 2 points. Everyone else, almost everyone else, has 1. We have 0 points in 7 games, and he's a -7 in Jacob Vrana. That's a problem. He needs to wake up. Eller's only got 1 point in 4 games. He did miss a bit. And Eller needs some time to get back, and it felt like he finally started to get his legs under him about halfway through the game last night. Backstrom only has 1 point, but he's been out.
We the can whole talk time. About how
that dude should have been. Anyways, you know, Kepney, the defense, I give him a little bit of a break, but I feel like the role players need to step up a bit more than we're seeing right now. And so it's been a bit disappointing. And this is not just I think these are the stats over 7 games. So it's throughout the round robin and the playoffs so far. And so we need to see more from the bottom 6. I need to see more from these guys because it can't just be Ovechkin and Ocean Wilson. I think the main guy I'm looking at right now isn't Kovalchuk. It's Vrana. Because yeah, if you know Backstrom's out, you're going to focus on Kuznetsov and shutting him down as your top center. And then if you're not worried about Vrana, you're not really worried about Wilson. He's got a goal and two assists, but you're not really as much as worried about Wilson in terms of his goal scoring. All you really got to do is put two guys on Ovechkin, and you're probably fine. He can't do it all by himself. You need other players to step up that will then cause and force that Wilson, who may or may not potentially should be suspended. But, you know, you're looking at, shocker, but you're looking at, it's very easy to stop Ovechkin when he's the only guy you're worried about. Guys like Vron, you know, you need to make it so that they're not just thinking about that first line. And right now, Jacob Vron is not, he's not working out. He's very Tomas Fleischmann right now. And I need to see Vron we saw in the past, not what we're seeing right now.
Yeah, well, last little bit on Kovalchuk. This is the last time I'll say this about him. But Tom Galletti, I think that's his name. He's a writer for NHL.com. He wrote last night during Game 4, Kovalchuk just got his first shot on goal of the series.
That's a problem.
Four games in, and he got now, a to be shot. Fair, not a goal, but a shot.
To be fair, the whole team hasn't played very well for the first three games, but at least you think you put the puck on net at some point.
Right. But Jacob Varana, yes, I have to agree with you. Jacob Varana, I don't know who this guy is right now. I was saying, you know, just a year or so ago when we were very uncertain about what was going to be next for Ovechkin, that Varana was the future and he was going to be your franchise guy when Ovechkin leaves. And right now, Jacob Varana, of all people, I mean, this is really shocking. We're saying, like, Kovalchuk's older, he's having trouble with a new coach and this, that, whatever. Varana's a young guy. You know, being in the bubble should not really bother him that much. I don't know what it is. He had that breakaway in overtime in Game 3, and it looked like he was going to get the game winner, that he was going to seal the deal. And then he goes out and just whiffs on it twice. I mean, I understand the ice conditions are terrible, but this is not the Jacob Varana that we know and love in D.C. This is not the guy who's, you know, going to get drunk on Instagram with Joe B. This guy is just he's like playing AHL hockey right now. His game is just not there.
Yeah, I mean, it's I don't know exactly what his deal is. I don't know if he needs to. He also shaved his head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that didn't work. So he's got to get a wig or something. Try it again, because it's not. Whatever he's doing is not working. I don't know if he needs to be on a different line. I don't really know anyone. I don't really think any of the players can necessarily fill in for him on the second line at this point, the guys they have, because no one else past him is showing up.
Yeah.
But he's zero. He's done nothing in seven games. That's a problem. Like, if this was the regular season, you're like, what's this? It's not working. I'm just going to go sit out for a game or two, kind of figure out what his issue is. But you can't really afford that. Unless they want to put McMichael in for him, which I don't think that's a good idea.
Fans are clamoring for McMichael. And
of course they are. Man, it's DC fans. We always want the next guy to be able to come in, whether it's the right time or not. No, let McMichael learn. He doesn't need to play. You know, it would have been kind of fun to throw him in if they had a couple more, like, warm-up games instead of just the one. That would have been cool to see, but no. I think the guys they have right now, I'm a little surprised that Pinho is one of the dudes playing, but, you know, to each their own. But right now, I'm looking at the plus minus. I know it's not my favorite statistic, but it's a problem. Oshie, minus -5. Carlson, like I said, minus -8. I think everybody's a minus but Ovechkin. As I go through this, I actually think, unless that or there's zero. Oh, Brendan Dillon's a plus +1. I still like him. Yeah, everybody else is a minus. That's a freaking problem.
This team reminds me of a Capitals team that we saw maybe in the early 2010, 2012, something like that, where, you know, Joey Crabb was one of the stars on this team, where you had
Ovechkin. He was not a star. We just liked him because his name was Crabb, and we're both living in Maryland. Settle down.
But it's like Ovechkin and all these other guys that you just kind of hope pan out. And there's a lot of talent on this team. You know, you do have guys, like you just said, Jacob Varana, DJ Oshie, Lars Eller.
Do we have Varana, though?
I mean, where's he at? Those are the guys that should be leading the pack. Tom Wilson and Ovechkin should be leading the pack. Nick Backstrom, I mean, he's still a game time decision. He's in concussion protocol. I mean, that was a dirty hit. That's, you know, it is what it is. But
he's got a concussion from watching the Caps play.
Yeah.
You see how frustrated he was when they kept putting him on the screen?
Yeah.
During the game, he's like, oh, God, come on.
If one guy goes down, though, it shouldn't be the downfall of the entire team. That means other guys need to step up in his place.
Correct.
And we're not seeing that. We're seeing guys looking like they're packing their bags and ready to go home. And
it looks like until about 10 minutes to go in the second period, it looked like they were going through the motions.
Yes, absolutely.
People online were talking about how they were playing to get the coaches fired. And I'm like, I don't know if these guys are going to do that, because the door for this group of players, and not necessarily like Ovechkin, Backstrom, those guys, but the window for this specific roster, I think, is, unless they wake up suddenly, is closing.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's going to be a shakeup of this roster just because of that's how it works. The salary cap is going nowhere as a result of, you know, shutdown and COVID and everything that's been going on. You know, salary cap staying at what it was at, which is not what the organization probably was hoping for, because they need more cap space than they have right now. They put a lot of money into not a lot of players. And then you're looking at, is this going to be the last time we see Braden Holtby?
Yeah.
In a Capitals jersey. Is it? And he's not as big of a deal, but Brendan Dillon also needs a new contract. Good as he's gone. Kovalchuk probably going back to Montreal. You know, Boyd needs a new deal. Oh, right. There's that other guy who's going to need a new deal after next season, Alex Ovechkin, that you're going to have to sign. You know, I think this is, I think even if this team wins the cup, knock on wood, but based on the way they're playing, that ain't going to happen. But I think we're going to see not a lot of changes, but I do think we're going to see this roster with a bit of a retool. I think if they get knocked down the first round, the coaching staff needs to go. And I think they need to really look at this roster and go, we need some more flexibility with the salary cap. We need to move out a few of these guys. I think Orlov is likely gone. You're not moving Carlson. You're not moving Ovechkin, Backstrom. I doubt you're moving Kuznetsov unless you get an amazing deal for him. Oshie's a possibility, but I still think he's going to stay on the team, and he's going to be the guy they sacrifice to Seattle. Wilson is probably not going anywhere, but if he keeps with those dirty hits, I wouldn't be against exploring that opportunity, because I just don't want a guy like that on the team.
It makes sense that he might go, though, because I did just get his jersey during this offseason. So
there you go.
Yeah.
And they got to re-sign Vrana after the season, and if he, you know, but based on the way he's playing, and it's a small sample, but based on the way he's playing now, and if he continues to struggle next season, well, that's going to kill his trade value. But, you know, do you look at moving him out? I'm not advocating to move Vrana. I think he's just having a crappy playoffs. I think he is going to be a good player. I think he is a future, very good second line winger, first line kind of fill-in winger, but I don't think he's like the heir apparent to Ovechkin. I think that they're going to have to go sign someone, or when you are moving on from Ovechkin and Backstrom, you're filling out your roster with higher quality offensive guys that can all make up for the play that Ovechkin and Backstrom bring to this team, if that makes sense. But they have a lot of decisions they have to make, and if this doesn't go well on Thursday or Saturday or at any point they get knocked out in this first round, I think they need to do a little bit of not a reboot. You know, we're not looking for a fire sale, but I am looking for them to retool. Or what is the term that Tarik Al-Bashir of The Athletic said? Reset of this roster. And you might be moving out a guy like an Orlov, and you're letting Gudas go. I think you re-sign Dillon, then you look at Kempney and Jensen, you decide which one you want, because this is an older team. But no, I think there's a good opportunity for them to, if this goes, not a good opportunity, but there is the likelihood, I should say, that if this goes poorly, they're going to look at making some changes.
So let me ask you, even if, let's just say, hypothetically, this team comes back, wins four straight, goes to game seven, moves on to the semifinals, and who knows what will happen after that. Do you see Todd Reirden as the coach of this team next year? Because after this, these past couple games, and even this, you know, a season or so, it seems like they're not playing hard for him. They're not trying to, he doesn't inspire them, I guess, the way that Barry Trotz did during the cup year. Is he the coach going forward?
I don't know. That's a tough call. Because as you look at it, how far do you, if you're the general manager, if you're Brian McClellan, how far did you expect them to go? And realistically, everyone's probably like, oh, of course he wanted them to win the cup, but duh. But how far do you realistically think that this team can go? What were your expectations? And did Reirden and his coaching staff meet those expectations? You know, I think right now, with the exception of 30 minutes in game four, he's been dramatically outcoached. Again, this is a good Islanders team. Not trying to take anything away from them, but the Capitals on paper should be a better team. But they're not playing like it, and that comes back on the coaching staff. You know, is it the preparation? Is it the focus? What is the deal with this team that is causing them to play so poorly? And so if I'm the general manager, I'm looking at going, you know what? Is there someone else out there? Are there other players that I can bring in? Are there moves that I can make, knowing that other teams are also going to be in cap issues, that I can retool this roster a bit, shake things up, and go into the next season stronger than I was before? And we've seen that McClellan's not afraid to make kind of surprise or crazy moves. You know, he went out and signed Niskanen and Orpik to those big deals. He's made moves, bringing in, surprise moves or big moves, bringing in Shattenkirk, even though that didn't work out. He brought in Dylan and Jensen and Kempney. He made the move to get TJ Oshie. He brought in Kovalchuk, which was like 5 years ago, Kovalchuk, but that's besides the point. Or 7 years ago, maybe. So I don't know. I don't know what he's going to do. I think they got a lot of questions going into next season and probably not that many answers.
I'll give this to Todd Reirden, to the coach. He is not taking this lying down. He is not throwing his hands up in the air and giving up.
I think he's trying.
Oh, absolutely.
It might be like Bruce Cassidy, who's the coach of the Boston Bruins now, who are doing, they started this whole thing quite poorly, and then now they just, swatted Carolina aside like they were a gnat. He was a god-awful coach for the Capitals. Like, the worst. He did a piss poor, given his defensive roster, not the best.
Right.
We had Jason Doig and Joel Kwiatkowski at one point. Not a great idea. But he had star players on this roster, and he couldn't get anything out of them. And they had to do the fire sale. They had to, try and reboot this whole thing, which worked out in the end because it got Ovechkin, it got Backstrom, and eventually led them to getting a cup. I feel like maybe Reirden will be a good coach. I just think this might not be the right opportunity for him. I think he'll go and get another, assistant gig or somewhere. And then, like Cassidy, he'll work his way back up and then get another opportunity at some point. This one just may not be the right one. And if you look at this team, they always kind of go for the new guy or the younger guy. Trotz is the only one I could think of that was a proven head coach that they've brought in quite some time. Now, let's even go through the
I guess if you want to say Dale Hunter, but he was a minor league coach.
Not in the NHL. I want a proven NHL coach. So they went with
NHL.
Glenn Hanlon. And the purpose of Hanlon was to get this team as the young guys to bring them forward, which he did very well.
Right.
It got to a point where it was past his skill set as a head coach. But I liked Glenn Hanlon. I think what he was doing was good. It just, the team got to a point where he was no longer the right guy. Nothing against him, just his skill set. So then they went with Boudreau, another unproven head coach. Worked out for a while in the regular season, not so great in the playoffs. So they got rid of him, brought in Hunter. Again, that didn't work out. He didn't want to stay. They went with Oates. That didn't work out.
No.
So they got rid of him. They brought in Trotz. Finally, we have a proven head coach. Holy crap, it worked. Oh, wait, they decided the money is, they're not going to agree on that. So they let him go, and they went with Reirden, who at the time, and I said it, I will eat crow for this, I thought he was the right guy to bring in and to be on this team, because there were other teams that were like, we want to talk to him. And the Caps were giving him the middle finger, be like, F off, you can't have this guy, he's ours. Right? Like, they wanted Reirden to be their guy because a bunch of people in the NHL were like, he's the guy. But it's not working out. It's not working out the way that they thought it would work out. And at some point, you got to go back and try again. And I don't want another unproven head coach. Give me a Gerard Gallant. Give me someone who has been there. Trotz didn't win the cup. He wasn't even the guy I wanted. I wanted Laviolette. That didn't work out.
If you remember, Trotz also, there was a lot of rumors, and he pretty much guaranteed that they were true, that in February of the cup year, he was supposed to be let go. Like, there was talk in February of him.
Dude, we were talking about it at Thanksgiving season. We're like, this isn't working out. I like Trotz. He's a good guy, but they got to bring in someone else that's going to, promote Reirden or Lambert or somebody and bring in, but it worked out. And, but I don't think my comments now or our thoughts now about Reirden is, it's not, we're not talking about it too early. This is a situation where it looks like, and it's consistent with this team, where they're look at Carolina last year. The team did not perform in the playoffs the way they should have.
Yeah.
And we're seeing it again now. with the exception of 30 minutes. So if this doesn't work out and they decide to move on, I want a proven head coach that has shown that he has the skills. He doesn't have to have won the cup before because Trotz didn't, but I want someone that's going to come in with ideas that work. Gallant made it pretty freaking far. He got to the finals against the Caps with Vegas. You know, thankfully it didn't work out for him. But, you know, I want a guy who's proven, and I don't want Dan Bylsma or Boudreaux. I want to see Gallant. I think he has the right mentality. You know, everything I feel like I've read before is that he's a good head coach that can push this team to where it needs to be.
What if Columbus were to let go Tortorella?
No.
What if, I mean, could you imagine that clash of personalities?
No. Dude, we already got one crazy person in DC. Let's not have another one.
I would like to see that happen, not to the chances for them to win a cup, but they would need to be filmed for a reality show every day.
Don't think that Columbus is going to get rid of him.
They've
gone the farthest they've ever gone with him.
I'm just saying it would be kind of crazy to see Tortorella and Ovechkin on the same team. Just imagine those locker room fights. Like that.
Or they will become the best of friends. I don't know. But I know. No.
All right. Well,
no, thank you.
Back to Todd Reirden, though. I mean, like we said, he's not taking this lying down. He is making changes. He benched.
He's mildly sitting up.
Yeah. He benched a bunch of players that in game three, I was a little surprised that he went out and did that.
Oh, good. Make everyone else tired.
Michael Kempney was benched. Travis Boyd was benched. And Jonas Singenthaler also benched.
Here's my problem with benching people, right? And, like, I've done this, given I've coached, like, teenagers and, like, middle school kids. But, like, I'll bench a player to make a point. But you do it for, like, 10 minutes or something. And you talk to him about it. But if you bench, like, half your freaking roster, I feel like they're all going to be like, well, screw you, buddy. Like, I understand I'm playing. How about you motivate them and get them to play better, not put them in timeout?
I will say Michael Kempney, he had a great postseason when the Caps won the Cup. He got his new contract with the Capitals because of it. But he has not looked good since the Cup run.
Whatever. He's had his moment. He's been injured a bit.
He has been injured. I remember when they went to see the president with the cup. He was on crutches. He got injured. I think that was beginning of the postseason last year or right before. I don't know. But he has not looked good. This past regular season, the 2018-2019 season, he did not look good. And this postseason, he has not looked good. So I'm kind of with Todd Reirden on the fact that, yeah, maybe this guy should have sat. Maybe there's better options out there. Radko Gudas, I don't agree with that one being the better option. But, you know, giving another player a chance. And, you know, he gave one player, what was it, his first NHL game in the playoffs. We see, you know, Cap coaches do that in the past. But, you know, names you don't recognize being in the postseason, that's a big stage to be on. But you know, Trotz is – or not Trotz. But
– Oh, if only he was still here.
But, yeah, Reirden, he's at least trying things and seeing what's going to stick. And I don't blame him for doing
Now's
that.
Now's not the time to do it.
Yeah, but I don't blame
like,
him
you
for –
you try
like,
little things, but at this point he's just, like, throwing crap at the wall and seeing what sticks.
Do you think those three guys that he benched warranted a benching?
I mean, probably. Honestly, if they have someone, I don't know why that confused me. If they have someone that could fill in for Vrana, I'd do it. Even if it was like bump him down to the third or fourth line to light a fire under his butt, but he's still playing. Like he's not going to be able to get out of his funk if you don't play him, right? But, like, if they had someone else that could jump in, but they don't outside of McMichael. And he's a center, by the way. So, like, I don't know how that's going to work. That's the other thing I actually want to talk to you about. I remember I was thinking about this yesterday. So, if we had Ryan on, and I'm sure when we have him on again in the future, everybody turn your volume down when Ryan gets on because you know he's going to be loud and angry. He's going to be like, Trey Kuznetsov, get him out of here. Send him back to Russia or something crazy like that, right? So... it's too early, I think, to do that, but I could see it happening if they really think that it's McMichael, right? If they really think that he's the guy. You know, you could have Backstrom, McMichael, Eller, and Dowd. I don't think it's going to happen. I think we're still going to see Kuznetsov, Backstrom, Eller, Dowd next season, mostly because all those guys have contracts. The problem I have with Kuznetsov right now is his faceoff percentage. And the reason that Reardon had him out there towards the end of the game when they had a defensive zone faceoff, and he was out there, and I was like, what are you doing? Because they're on the broadcast, they were even like, he's at, it was like 39% in faceoffs tonight. And I was like, get his ass out of the faceoff circle. Let someone else do it. He's at 37% in the playoffs. You're a freaking center, man. Oh, are you? Is he that bad? It doesn't show statistics in terms of how many he has taken, which is kind of a problem in terms of my argument. I mean, Backstrom isn't any better. He's at 32%, but he also has only played 4 games. Dowd's at 55. Eller's at 53. Like, can they teach him how to take some faceoffs? This is a problem. Especially, I mean, think of all the opportunities you're losing in the offensive zone because your top center can't win a freaking faceoff.
That's true.
That's a problem. That's a problem. Big problem. And, but it's okay. The coach is going to put him out there in a defensive zone faceoff when you're up by one with like 15 seconds to go. At that point, I'm like, you see that bench get comfy because you ain't playing for the last 2 minutes. Eller, Dowd, you're up. I'll put them both out there at the same time. If there's 15 seconds to go and you're up by one, they're both out there. Because if one of them gets kicked out, the other guy's going in.
That's a good idea.
I don't know what's going to happen, obviously, because I can't foresee the future. That'd be cool if I could. But right now, I know everybody's yelling at Kuznetsov, but my question is, where the hell is Jacob Vrana?
Is he in Toronto?
I know there's someone wearing his jersey and skating on the second line, but it ain't Vrana. It's Tomas Fleischmann.
Yeah.
Dude, what if he listened to the show and he's like, at WTP Coach Dan, stop saying mean things about me. We get a knock on the front door. Uh-oh.
Vrana, yeah, he has not really shown up. Haglin, he hasn't really been there either. Kovalchuk,
but you're not looking for an enormous amount of offense. I mean, you're looking for some from the bottom six, but I'm not looking at Haglin being like, you need to score more. I'm looking at the guy with zero freaking points and is a minus seven being like, you're on the second line and your whole job is to put the puck behind the goalie. Do that. And I know the puck is bouncing, but come on.
Vrana definitely needs to step his game up, especially, like you said, on the second line. But that bottom six, I mean, that is a non-existent bottom six. Haglin, Kovalchuk, Panik, even Hathaway for a little bit there. These guys just, it's as if they don't exist. It's just terrible. Maybe when Eller gets bumped back down, if Backstrom were to come back, that would help out their production a little bit. But it's really rough right now. I mean, there is no bottom six. That's the worst part. And you do have guys like Ratko Gunnars playing and Nick Jensen playing. These guys are not good.
Gunnars has more points than all of those guys.
That's terrible.
Gunnars has 2 points in 4 games.
And he missed a couple, didn't he? Didn't he miss one or two? He came back in the third. He missed the first two.
Because they were like, go sit up. He does have a very nice thick beard, though.
I think he shaved, too. I think he's got the goatee.
He's got 2 assists. His points were in the games before the Islanders series. But the point is, at least he has something.
Yeah.
Like, right now, he's out-producing all of the bottom six. Yeah. Look at this way. The bottom six is right now is what? Who's the third line center? Boyd?
He's benched, so it's Pinho.
Okay, well, his faceoff percentage ain't any better. Pinho's at 30%. Boyd's at 29. Jesus. Just over 29. So you're like, all right, fine. It doesn't matter for my point I'm going to make. Panik, Boyd, Kovalchuk, Haglin. I'm not going to put Eller in there because he's been filling in for Backstrom. Dowd, Hathaway, Pinho. Between all those guys, they've got 4 points.
Yeah, that's not a Stanley Cup team.
No, sorry, 1 goal. And I'm pretty sure that was during the round robins. Oh, Panik has one too.
Yeah, Panik got a goal. It was his first in the postseason ever.
Yeah. Well, he didn't play on some very good teams. So that's a problem. You know, the bottom six has to step up. And I feel like this is one of the things they looked at. If you go back and look at the cup run, you had guys like Smith-Pelly stepping up, Eller stepping up, Connolly stepping up. Now you look at this team last year and this year, and you're like, where are the bottom six players that are forwards, I should say, that are going to step up and fill in when the top guys either aren't getting it done or aren't being allowed to get it done because they're getting, you know, Ovechkin's getting two guys on him every night. You know, it's you got to step up and contribute, and they're not doing it right now. I think, you know, that's one of the things we were talking, I was talking earlier about, you know, reshaping the roster. Do they look at reshaping the bottom six? That's going to be hard to do because you gave out a bunch of long contracts. Hagelin's going to be here for another three seasons. Ugh. Ponick's here for another three. Hathaway's here for another. Wait, who are you looking at? I like the Hagelin deal still.
I don't. Yeah,
a little, you know, Hathaway's still going to be here for another three. Dowd's here for another two, though I do like Dowd, actually. I
think of those Dowd, guys.
It's not a lot of money, and he's got a good faceoff percentage. Dowd, I'm fine with. Hathaway, I'm fine with. Hagelin, I don't know. I mean, I feel like the bottom six does need a bit of a shakeup. Not Eller. I'm fine with keeping Eller. I like him.
Of the guys you just mentioned, yes, Eller's great. But Hathaway's the only guy this season, not just postseason, but the whole season that I've been impressed with.
Put the
spitting aside. Don't do that anymore. You know, that was bad.
Yes, not very nice. The team also needs to get younger. I mean, going down just their centers, you've got Backstrom at 32. You've got Eller at 31. You've got Dowd at 30 and Kuznetsov at 28. I mean, Kuznetsov's getting right into his prime, but Backstrom is getting towards kind of the end of his prime. Dowd is in the middle of it. And Eller's, you know, kind of middle slash getting towards the end of his prime at 31. So this is an older team, and that's an issue. You know, I think that's one of the things they might have to look at in the offseason. Even if they win the cup, I think you want to look into the offseason to make this team a bit younger.
Well, that was the thing with when Brian McClellan took over, is that we always saw George McPhee go in and try to, you know, go through the bargain bin at Walmart to find a $5 movie, and he would always go for those minor league guys that could become potentially something in the majors, and none of them ever panned out. So McClellan came in and went, all right, we're getting all veteran players, we're going to be older, we're going to spend big money.
You don't need all veteran players.
I think that's his thing. He wants them to learn the systems other places, bring their intelligence here. He doesn't want to have homegrown talent anymore. He doesn't want the talent.
That's
to
not
go.
Fair.
It's true though. I mean,
who has come
up from the Hershey Bears that has made any kind of splash on this team?
Vrana. Did he play with the Bears?
No.
Yeah, he did.
No, he came straight to the majors.
Well, that's different because typically you don't see your like star players go through the minors necessarily. Wilson is one. You don't see
Wilson skip Hershey.
A Carlson. Who's skip Hershey?
No, you're talking George McPhee people. I'm talking Brian
McClellan.
Oh, that's
McClellan. Fair. That's fair. That's well. Hold on. Oh, shoot, what's that website?
Samsonov. I think he's the only one I can think of.
Well, he's going to be the starter next season. I hope he's gone. I think just because of the salary cap. Okay, so you're talking about McClellan and his draft picks. So I do think we're going to see some younger guys. I mean, the thing is, when they made a couple of the runs through the playoffs or the cup, they gave up a good amount of their draft picks.
Sure.
So you don't have as many, you know, at some point they're going to start needing to resupply the minors. And, you know, a lot of concerns, a lot of times lately they've been picking defensemen. I mean, going back to, let's go back to 2015. 2014, they picked Vrana, then Vanacek. In the second round, Nathan Walker.
Go on.
So 2015, you had Samsonov in the first round, Singenthaler, Connor Hobbs, and Colby Williams, all defensemen. 2016, first round pick was Lucas Johansson, defenseman. They didn't have a pick until the fourth round in 2017 due to making a bunch of trades.
I remember that one.
Three defensemen in that draft and a left winger. 2018 draft, Alexiev and Favari. So two defensemen in the first and second round. And then last season, they finally picked a forward in Connor McMichael with their first round pick. So, they need to start getting more young guys. I think this team needs to get younger in general. I don't think you're necessarily going to be able to go out and sign young players because typically they're held on to by the team that had picked them originally. So you either need to be doing it in a trade, which usually costs more because they're younger and they likely have more potential. Or you need to go with your own guys. So then you're looking at guys like an Axel Janssen Fjällby. You're looking at Connor McMichael. You're looking at a couple of these young forwards to bring up. And then I think they're going to make some changes on the defense. I think I were talking like the season's over, even though they still technically are alive.
I know.
But it's the reality of this roster because you're looking at like, next season, I think Favari is going to get, you know, a full-time gig with them. I think Alexiev will get a real look. I know Johansson wants to leave because he doesn't see him. He's fallen down in the order, at least right. amongst how the team views him, and he wants an opportunity to make the NHL, and I understand that. So likely if they move him, maybe they get someone else to come in, hopefully a forward, that could potentially take that spot or be able to play in the NHL. So maybe you're moving him out for another prospect that's kind of buried in another team's organization that – you can then plug in. So I do think the team needs to get younger quickly, and I think next season is the opportunity to do it because, you know, you're going to move on from Holtby likely, so that's another – he's at 30 now, but he can probably play another 6, 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 years. You know, you got – even guys like Orlov who are – so you're like, oh, not that old. He's 29.
Really? He seems older.
Yeah, which is not old in the reality in society, but in sports, you know – now, defensemen tend to play a bit longer, but, you know, Carlson's 30. He's 29. Gudas is 30. Kempney and Jensen and Dylan are all 29. And then you got Singenthaler, who got, you know, up in the press box the other game. I think it was game 3. He's 23. So I'd like to see the team get a bit younger. And it's not because of the typical DC thing where we just want to see the next guy up. Like, the lineup and the team that's there right now is not working. And maybe they'll play better on Thursday and then Saturday and then I'm guessing Monday. That, I don't know, I'm in front of me. But, like, maybe they will then play better and we'll be like, all right, maybe this is working out. But either way, they have, I believe, one of the older rosters in the NHL. And eventually that's going to become a problem.
All right. Well, I mean, without looking into the future, when we're looking at just the present day, we have Game 5 looking at us right now, and the Caps are going to have to play harder than they've played this entire bubble experiment. So this whole tournament, they have to figure out what they're doing. Hopefully they can take the momentum from the last period and a half that they have played and put it towards Game 5. But what are some keys here for the Capitals to go on a run and get 4 wins straight?
Play better than the Islanders. That would be a good start.
My guess. All right, we're moving on.
I think there needs to be more effort. It's got to be more. You have to have your desire's got to be higher than the other teams. You got to put more into it, and be willing to sort of put your body on the line. And that's why you play sports. That's why you get the big bucks. Is because you're willing to put your body on the line to make something happen. I mean, looking at these guys, Nick Dowd is getting paid $700. I know he doesn't get all of it, like agents' fees and other things, but $750,000 is not a lot of money in professional sports, or at least in hockey. But to anyone else in society, especially right now, that is so much money. And so that's part of the game. And that's just the reality of the sport. I'm not saying that they should have to do it, but that's part of playing this game. And so what I haven't seen, I've just been seeing the team go through the motions. I need to see them actually putting more effort, more emphasis into what they're doing when they're on the ice and playing more of an overall team game than trying to be fancy and trying to just show the other team up. And we haven't seen that so far. Keep it simple.
I think that's what they have to do. Exactly. I think they do have to keep it simple, and we hopefully we'll see that going forward. So it's important time for the Capitals. At least they didn't get swept. I guess we can be happy about that. But hopefully they can take the momentum they have from the last period and a half, and they can capitalize on that, and we can maybe go on to the semifinals. Who knows? So anything else we should cover in Caps world?
Yeah, I guess we talked about Backstrom being a game time decision. Do we talk, I guess this happened since we last recorded, that John Walton broke his chair live on air.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. If you listen to that audio clip, it's pretty funny.
There's just like, he's talking and there's just like a, like this little like scuffle sound. And then, as again, Sauber just keeps going on. It's like, oh, they're playing this guy's going over there and this is happening. And I almost wanted to hear Walton being like, oh God, what the. Wow. Oh, sorry, everybody. But, like, no, I thought I didn't hear it live because I was. What game was that? 2?
I think it was 2.
I think I was watching on TV. So, like, I thought it was going to be a bigger deal than it was, but it's still kind of funny when he's there. And like, he's calling it, and then you just hear a. And you're like, what was that? That's weird noise.
Craig Lachlan did tweet out that that was a joke he was playing on Joe B, and he just messed up chairs. But I don't think that's true. But he was like, sorry about that.
No,
my
I,
bad.
I think chairs just break. Cap signed goaltender Zach Fucale. I want it to be Fucale. We could go back and doing the whole what's his name bit. Oh shoot, I can't remember his name. DePauly. We can go back and DePauly. Do our DePauly bit. DePauly. Zach Fucale. They signed him to a 1-year two-way contract. I hope he enjoys South Carolina because I don't think he's going anywhere else. He's played most of his career, it looks like, or at least last season in the ECHL. He was playing with Orlando last season. Decent stats, though. 25-year-old. It's a depth signing as Zach Fish, who is the voice of the Hershey Bears. He was talking about this on Twitter today. It's a depth move. You know, part they're talking about Parker Milner retired and then Logan Thompson signed with Vegas. I don't know who that is. And I guess the Cap signed Hunter Shepard. So I don't know. Filling out the minors. This is not the guy who's going to be like, holy crap, look at this guy coming along. Like, this team is very much set up for Samsonov, as long as he stays off ATVs. It's very much set up for him to come in and be the guy for 10 or so years. I can't think of anything else at the moment. Looks like the Islanders are contemplating a few changes. I don't know. If I'm them, I'm like, I might wait on that. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah, that's pretty much all the Caps news. If anybody can find Vrana, that'd be great.
Have you seen me?
Team could definitely...
On the side of a milk carton.
Yeah, if you could find them, I'd really appreciate it.
Well, should we go around the NHL? We haven't done a segment like that in a while. All right, everybody, welcome back. Here we go. We're going around the NHL. It's in the bubble. It's in Edmonton. It's in Toronto. The bubble experiment seems to be working. They have now gone 3 weeks without a positive COVID test inside the bubble. Congratulations to the NHL. Whatever you're doing seems to be working. But Coach Dan's going to catch us up. Coach, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, let's start with some somber news. As Winnipeg Jets great and hockey great Hall of Fame forward Dale Hawerchuk passed away at the age of 57. Passed away from cancer. Which is a terrible thing. So condolences to his family. Played with a number of great players playing for Canada, Gretzky and Lemieux and those kind of guys. So, had an amazing career. And I saw they're playing a video and it seems like it affected a lot of the NHL guys when they found out. So it's sad to see another one go. Moving on to the playoffs. Do you want to start in the West or in the East?
Let's start in the West. We talked East a lot today.
Do you mean before we recorded?
No, we're talking about East Coast teams. Yeah.
All right, so fair enough. All right, we'll start with Vegas and Chicago. Vegas, 4-1, knocking the Blackhawks out. I think we both said Vegas, right?
We did, yeah.
Yeah, all right, so we're both right there. Colorado is up 3-1 on Arizona. I think we both went Colorado.
Yeah. I didn't think Arizona would get any wins, though.
I don't even remember who I said, really. Like, I'm not overly confident in terms of guessing who I said, let alone how many games I said. Dallas is up 3-2 on Calgary. I think you said Dallas. I think I said Calgary.
I predicted Calgary in 7. Calgary in 7.
All right, well... Well, if you're going to be right, that's going to have to be the case because they're currently down 3 games too. St. Louis and Vancouver are tied 2-2. I think I said I wanted Vancouver, but I feel like St. Louis is going to win, but I don't remember if that was the case. Philly's up 3-1 on Montreal. I think we both said Philly.
No, I said Montreal.
Oh, did you really?
I did, yeah. I said it was going to 7 and Montreal was going to win.
Well, again... That's the only way it's going there for you to be right is for it to go 7. Tampa knocked out Columbus 4-1.
Yep.
Didn't see that. Everybody probably saw that coming. Though Columbus, I thought, would put up a little bit more of a fight.
Yeah, I said
we
know six
the Caps
games.
Are down. You were close. off by one. Capture down 3-1 to the Islanders. And Boston, after having a poor round robin and start to their... Oh, no, they won game one, right? Anyways, Boston knocked out the Hurricanes, those jerks, 4-1.
I thought Carolina was going to win 4-0 with how terrible Boston's been playing, but Boston turned it on.
Yeah, right? Bruce Cassidy, I still can't believe it. Do they reseed?
Yeah, it's highest versus lowest.
Okay, so if the Caps are actually able to come back and pull off a Game 7 4-game shocker, they would then, assuming Philly wins, they would take on... Oh, crap, we're playing Tampa.
Tampa, yep.
If the Islanders win...
Tampa was 2.
Yeah, but Boston won, and if Philly wins, it's 1-4, 3-2.
Okay, yeah.
But
so no, we would be up against Boston, right?
No, man.
No, you're right. Never mind. I'm dumb.
Well, as long as you're aware. And then if the Islanders win, then it's Islanders, Flyers, and Bruins, Lightning. On the other side, that's too hard to say because only one team's actually moved on to the next round.
Yeah.
Can we talk about how Vegas is still staying like relevant as an expansion team? Like, I think their run to the cup was a little bit of the guys having chip on their shoulders because they got became made available by their teams.
Right.
But they followed up with another run to the playoffs, and they've done it again. Now, given it was a little bit easier for teams to be in the playoffs this year, but still.
They're my Western Conference champs. That's who I think is going all the way to the finals.
Let's wrap it up, man.
All right. Well, if you want to continue the conversation, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of irritation about the Washington Capitals, as well as Arsenal Football Club, and if they're going to sign this Gabriel Magalhães. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but hopefully they get this kid because they need to get younger and get better at their center backs. Now that it looks like football's coming back, talking about the Bills and Washington football team, as well as other sports as they may happen. But that's following me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. Hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we post when new shows are coming out, as well as all other sorts of places that we post when our new show is coming out. Also, that is where we put interesting information about the Capitals, the NHL, and just overall things that Brandon finds fun that are related to hockey.
Yeah.
That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if they've enjoyed this show and they are a fan of a purple-clad football team whose T-shirt you're currently wearing.
I am.
Is that a 0 or a 9?
That's a 9.
That's a 9. So you got your – is that Lamar Jackson?
This is Justin Tucker.
I'm not a Ravens fan. I don't know players' numbers. I don't even know players' numbers, I think, on the teams I actually follow. it'll be easier now with the DC team because their numbers are on their helmet, which I don't know if I like or not.
Yeah, that might actually – that might just stick around. Who knows?
You know, it's not – we'll see. It depends on what the next logo is. But either way, if you're a fan of Justin Tucker and Lamar Jackson and it looks like Dez Bryant,
yeah.
Is there a podcast they could be listening to?
Yeah, if you are a Baltimore Ravens fan, you can listen to my podcast, The Call, as we get going again when the regular season starts up. Hopefully the NFL does have a season. All signs point that it will, but who knows, because this is a new world we live in. So make sure if you enjoyed What the Puck, you're a Caps fan and a Ravens fan, make sure you go over and like my podcast called The Call. It's available at all the places where you listen to What the Puck as well. So just look up The Call. It's a Baltimore Ravens podcast. Now, Coach Dan and I do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, or let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social, on the web, or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I haven't lost hope. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So until we talk again, will this be the end of the Caps season, or will they rally and win four in a row? Well, you will find out before we get to another show, because the games start tomorrow, Thursday, August 20th. That game is at 8 o'clock. The Caps are considered the home team. And, of course, you can they're coming from Toronto. You can watch that on NBC Sports or on NBC Sports Washington locally here. And then, if needed, which we hope it is, Saturday the 22nd, the Capitals will be up against the Islanders. We don't know where or when. You will get to watch that. And then if they force a Game 7 will be on Sunday the 23rd. They're playing back-to-back games. Luckily, no travel is involved. So you can watch the team there. So, Coach, Game 7, what do you think? Is it happening? You got hope? Do you have a new hope?
I am not. Well, we know that I don't have any hope. We also know I'm bad luck, so I'm going to go ahead and keep my mouth shut. The only way they're going to move on is they go through 7 games. So, we'll see.
Let's hope for 7. Let's get through 5 first. But everybody, say it loud, say it proud. We will see you next week, no matter what. But say it loud, say it proud. Wear a mask.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
See if I can do it again and count us down. See if there's really that bad of a delay. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Wow, that is quite the delay. Holy cow.
On my end, we're doing it at the same time.
Yeah, exactly, because we're not doing it at the same time on my end. Like, that is like a full-on five-second delay. This is because you got a dirty mouth.
Ah, the show has learned to... Yeah, it's because of me and my swearing. Okay, I got you. Sorry, Internet. I'll behave.
All right. Here we go.